Our Bible reading today is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 16, reading from the first verse. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king." But Samuel asked, "How can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me." "Take a heifer with you," the Lord replied, "and say that you've come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of his sons to anoint for me." So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him. "What's wrong?" they asked. "Do you come in peace?" "Yes," Samuel replied. "I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "This is not the one the Lord has chosen." Next Jesse summoned Shimeah, but Samuel said, "Neither is this the one the Lord has chosen." In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats." "Send for him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down to eat until he arrives." So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome, with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, "This is the one. Anoint him." So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah.
So this is week two of our summer series, More Than Enough, thinking about different women, different men who had an encounter with God's grace. But before I get into the meat of today's message, a little quiz for you, a little music quiz. And I'm going to play a track of music, and I want you to tell me what TV show this was the theme tune of. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Here it is. Think about it. A TV show from the early 1980s. I remember watching this on a Sunday evening with my family. Kind of a strange introduction. Any ideas? It was, of course, I'm sure some of you have got this. It was the TV show Tales of the Unexpected. Who got it right? Well done if you got that right. So Tales of the Unexpected were short stories written by Roald Dahl that had an unexpected ending to them. And I used to think they were fantastic when I was younger, and they always used to surprise me and catch me out. And this phrase, Tales of the Unexpected, just came back to me this week when I was thinking about this series. You see, the way that God interacts with the world, the way that he the way that he pours his grace on different people, the way he interacts with his creation is often unexpected. In fact, we could have called this series Tales of the Unexpected, because the people that Jesus meets, particularly when he was walking around and meeting people in different towns and different cities, they often ended up as tales of the unexpected. If you think about Orb's preaching on Zacchaeus last week, that had an unexpected ending to that story. You see, the truth is, the reality of God's kingdom and grace is not always obvious to the human eye. What we expect to happen when God interacts with his creation isn't always how it turns out to be. And it's not always obvious to us what God is doing. And the incident of Samuel and Jesse and his sons that Cliff's just read to us reminds us once again that God's grace is unexpected when it's poured out on a situation. Let me just give you a bit of background to what Cliff read. You see, for years, Israel, the people of Israel, have been asking God to give them a king. They've been saying to God, we want to be like all the other nations. We want to have a king like everybody else. And God has been saying to Israel, look, you don't need a king. I'm your king. I'm enough for you. But Israel kept demanding and demanding. And God says, okay, you can have a king. In fact, you can have the kind of king that you deserve. And I'm going to give you a king, and he's going to tax you, and he's going to make you go to war, and he's going to exploit you. But if that's what you want, that's what you can have. And the first king of Israel is appointed, and many of you will know that was a gentleman, a man called Saul. And we find out about Saul in the Bible that he was tall, he was strong. In fact, he's described as being head and shoulders above every other man in Israel. He looked like a king. He was an expected choice. He was an obvious choice to be king. But as Saul lives out his life as king, as he leads the nation, he proves himself to be weak. He proves himself to have a heart that isn't after God's. He shows that he is compromised. And if you read in 1 Samuel chapter 15, just before Cliff read to us, you'll see just how compromised he is. And at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 15, there's a really sad verse where it says that God regretted that he made Saul king over Israel. And then we come to this passage that Cliff read to us. And God asks the prophet Samuel to go to Bethlehem, to Jesse's house, and to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the next king of Israel. In fact, God says this to Samuel. He says, how long will you mourn for Saul since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king. And so Samuel takes his ceremonial horn, fills it with oil so that he can anoint with oil one of Jesse's sons. There's a bit of to-ing and fro-ing between Samuel and God. And Samuel says, well, you know, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble if I anoint somebody to be king while Saul is still king. And God tells him, this is what I want you to do. Go and make a sacrifice with Jesse and his family. And he says, you are to anoint for me the one that I indicate to you. So there's this idea that God is going to indicate to Samuel which one of Jesse's sons is going to be king. And then this famous scene unfolds. There's a sacrifice, a feast is going to be had. And Samuel sees each one of Jesse's sons walk in front of him. He sees the oldest son, the tallest son, the biggest son, Eliab. And Samuel says this, surely the Lord's anointed one stands here before the Lord. He sees Eliab, he looks like a king. He reminds him, I guess, of what Saul looks like. Surely, God, this is the one that you want to be king. And at this point, God rebukes Samuel. He pulls him up a bit short and he says this to him. Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. This is a real tale of the unexpected here. Samuel was expecting the strongest, the biggest son to be king. But God says to him, that's not what you should expect. I'm not looking at the outward appearance. He says, actually, I'm looking at something deeper within. I'm looking for the person's heart. I want a man to be king who's got a heart that's like mine. And so Samuel turns around to Jesse and says, well, have you got any other sons? And in fact, the rest, another six pass in front of him. And once these seven sons have passed in front of Samuel, he says, well, do you have anybody else? Because none of these are to be king. And Jesse says, well, there's still the youngest one. He's out watching the sheep. And then the Lord says, as this youngest son comes in front of Samuel, the Lord says to Samuel, rise and anoint him. This is the one. And the smallest, the youngest son is then anointed to be king of Israel. And it's only at this point, right at the end of the story, that we find out his name. And we're told in that passage that his name is David. And David is going to be the king of Israel after Saul. It's a great tale of the unexpected. Samuel expected the biggest son to be the next king. It turns out to be the youngest son. The one who was overlooked, who wasn't even invited to come and pass before Samuel in the first place. You see, the reality of God's kingdom and grace is not always obvious to the human eye. This is a great encounter of God's grace. Doing something that is unexpected. And what I love about this story is that it reminds us that God's grace lifts up the overlooked. You see, in this story, David is completely overlooked. Saul's got fixed in his mind what the next king should look like. But even Samuel, the prophet, the one who we're told earlier in the book of Samuel is a seer, the one who can see things the way God sees. We're told here he doesn't always see things the way that God sees things. You see, God wasn't looking for someone who looked like they were a king. He was looking for someone who had a good heart. And it wasn't necessarily going to be obvious who that was. You see, God finds possibilities for grace in the most unexpected places and the most unexpected people. In human eyes, David should be nowhere near becoming king. He's the youngest. He's the last in line for inheritance. He's overlooked by his family. He's not invited to even come and meet Samuel. He's not even named by his father. He's just called, well, the youngest one. He's out there looking after the sheep. He's a shepherd. He's from this small village, Bethlehem, that nobody really of significance had come from. This wasn't the usual arrangement for power and influence. David should have been nowhere near becoming king. But God's grace lifts up the overlooked. God's grace finds possibilities in unexpected places and unexpected people. And David becomes a focus for God's grace. You see, even David's family line is unexpected. His grandmother, Ruth, was an immigrant. Another relative of his, Tamar, was almost executed for committing adultery. Another of his relatives was a prostitute. He didn't have a great family line. But God's grace finds possibilities in the most unexpected people and unexpected family lines. You know, I think another of David's relatives who comes many years after him put it best where he said, "The last shall be first." Of course, that was Jesus who said that. "The last shall be first." Why is that possible? Because God's grace lifts up the overlooked. God's grace finds possibilities where nobody else sees possibilities. David was the last in his family line. Yet suddenly, because of God's grace picking him out, he's pushed to the front of the queue to become king of Israel. And in Jesus' life, there is no better place than Jesus' life where we see God's grace lifting up the overlooked, but also finding possibilities in the unexpected. You see, Jesus was another one who was also born in Bethlehem. He had the poorest start to life, being born into an animal feeding trough to a carpenter's son. He came from an unprivileged background. Jesus himself, as he grows, becomes a refugee, running away, fleeing from Pharaoh who wants to kill him. He dies. He's crucified as a criminal. But just like his relative years before him, David, in Jesus, God's grace finds possibilities in the unexpected. David becomes king of Israel. Jesus is now at his Father's right hand, King of heaven. God's grace truly does lift up the overlooked. So what does this mean for you and me? What can you and I learn from this story? How can we apply it to our lives? Well, you know, as the church, as God's people today, we are a grace community. We are people who are experiencing God's grace in our lives. And we're a community that should be sharing God's grace with those we come across. So it's stories like this that we need to learn from. And say, well, how can we play out God's grace in our lives today? Well, here's a question for you and I to ask ourselves. Do I look at someone's appearance, or do I look for their heart? If we're truly going to be a community of grace, we need to be looking at people's hearts rather than the way they present themselves. You see, this story is a reminder that we can still live in a community where positions of authority and positions of power still go to those that look like they fit. That positions of power and authority can still go to people who look like a leader. Now, this is what almost happened to Samuel, didn't it? Samuel almost made this mistake. He was going to make this mistake. He was looking for somebody to be king who looked like they fit as a king, or who looked like they were a leader. And God pulls up Samuel short, doesn't he, and says, the Lord doesn't look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I find that a rebuke for me, if I'm honest as well. Perhaps you find it there for you. See, I can often look and judge people by the way they look. I can judge people in authority and people who are leaders and say, well, do they look like they should be a leader? Do they look like they should have that power and authority? But in communities of grace, we can't think that way. We can't make the mistake that Samuel was going to make and judge people by their appearance. We need to be asking God to help us to look for people's heart, so that modern day Davids aren't overlooked for positions of power and authority. Somebody may not look like a conventional leader, but they might have the heart of a leader. They might have the heart of God inside of them. This means that we can't overlook people who are immigrants. We can't overlook people because of their age. We can't overlook people because maybe they speak a different language. We can't overlook people of different races. We can't overlook the BAME community. We can't overlook people who are from a different social class. Those who have got disabilities. Those who have got maybe mental or emotional health issues. This is a reminder that God lifts up those who are overlooked. This is a reminder that we can't judge people by their appearances. We can't choose people just because they look like a leader. I love how Paul puts it later on in the Bible, in the book of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church and he's reminding them about how God uses those people who are often overlooked, or situations that look foolish in the world's eyes. And he talks about the cross, and he says, you know, the cross of Jesus, the cross that Jesus died on is foolishness to those who don't believe. That a man dying, that God dying on the cross looks crazy, looks foolish to unbelievers. And he's reminding them that God uses things and people in different ways. And he writes this to that church. He says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. And he goes on to say, God uses the foolish. God uses the weak. God uses the lowly. God uses the despised. This is what a community of grace looks like. For me, this is the heart of this story of David and Samuel. That God lifts up the overlooked. God uses those people that others would overlook. And why does he do that? So that his grace can shine through. Another part in one of Paul's letters, he says, God says, my power is made perfect in weakness. When God chooses to use those who are foolish and who are weak, who are lowly, who are despised, his power is made perfect. His power shines through. That is David's story, isn't it? This youngest son, this youngest brother, overlooked, out in another field looking after the sheep. Because he couldn't possibly be king. Is suddenly brought to the fore. He wasn't wise by human standards. He wasn't influential. He wasn't of noble birth. But he's brought front and centre of God's big story. To play his part. He's lifted up. Why? Because God's grace is about tales of the unexpected. Because God's grace lifts up the overlooked. Shouldn't that be the story of our church community today? Where those that other people might overlook are brought to the fore to play their part in God's big story. Do you look at people's appearance? Do you look for their heart the way that God does? And finally, just one last question for us quickly as we finish, and it's this. Do I believe that God looks at my heart? It's an interesting question to ask. When God looks at you, what does he see? Does he see your appearance? Does he see what the world sees? Or do you believe that God looks beyond that? This X-ray vision, and he looks into our hearts. He looks at the core of who we are. No, Psalm 139 that was written by David some years later says, reminds us just how well God knows us. He says, God, you know me, you've searched me, you know when I rise and when I go to sleep, you know my inner thoughts. You know, David knew that God looks right into his very heart, because that's how his story started. But do you believe that about yourself as well? You see, what this means, and it means this for me as well, is that God sees my best parts. He sees my best thoughts. He sees my best actions. He sees my good intentions. But what it means as well is that God sees our not so good parts. He sees those negative thoughts that we have. He sees how we're tempted and how we give in. He sees the darkest side of us as well. It's an interesting idea, isn't it? But it gives us an idea of God's grace, because I know that although God sees the good and also this huge side of me that isn't so good, He still loves me. He still chooses to love me and to pour His grace and His mercy upon me. You know, it's so true that there's nothing I can do to make God love me more, but there's nothing I can do to make Him love me any less as well. Because He's a God of grace who looks at the heart. Do you know that God looks at your heart? He doesn't look at your outside appearance. Now, this is so important for us. This is so important for us. So important for some of you watching this who feel that, like David, you're overlooked. Because you feel like David, you've been forgotten, maybe by your own family. Maybe for the place that you work. Maybe by a partner who you loved who's left you. And now you feel lonely and forgotten and overlooked. This story is a reminder that God sees us. Right to the heart of who we are. He sees the good and the not so good, but He still chooses to love us. Even if we feel like we're in a field away, sitting on our own, looking after some sheep, God hasn't forgotten you. He sees you. He knows you. You're not forgotten. I wonder, do you believe that about yourself today? Because that's the story of God's grace. God lifts up the overlooked. Our job is to choose to believe that. And then, just like David did, to come to Him. To approach Him. To hear our name being called. You can imagine David hearing his name being called by his brothers. Come on, you're needed. You're wanted. To hear our name being called. And to come and stand in front of Him. And then allow God's grace to anoint us, just as David was anointed with oil, to allow God's grace to come and anoint us. And then to bring about the possibilities in our lives. Maybe the possibilities that we didn't even think could happen. To allow God's grace to do the seemingly impossible in our lives. To allow God's grace to bring about a tale of the unexpected in our lives. Do you believe that God can do that for you? David's story is a reminder that He can. We're going to worship together. And the words of this song that we're going to sing, I think, are just so important. And there's a refrain that comes up that we can use as a prayer for ourselves. And the words say this: heal my heart and make it clean. And then it's this bit: open up my eyes to the things unseen. And maybe as we use this song now, we can use this as a prayer and say, God, open up my eyes. I don't often see Your grace at work, God, if I'm honest. I don't often see the things where You're working in people's lives. Open up my eyes to the way that You see other people. I don't want to see people's appearances. I want to see their heart. But perhaps more importantly as well, God, open up my eyes to the way that You see me. How Your grace views me. And then, God, show me how to love like You have loved me.